Church, I invite you to be seated. I'm going to try to pull off a miracle here and preach short. Water into wine. Yeah, you've been around too long, Tom. Yeah, so parable of the 10 bridesmaids, right? Or the five wise women and the five foolish women. And you know, if you just read this sort of surface level, you just read it quickly, you think the parable is mainly about be ready. It's like being a spiritual boy scout. Be prepared, right? That's what it sounds like it's about. And if I was going to say, if you were going to be a spiritual boy scout, be prepared, I think this is what it would look like. You'd be prayed up. You'd be confessed up. You'd be obeyed up. But you'd be loved out, right? Prayed up's real simple. That's you're learning to go into that place where you and just God have a conversation, just be together. And one of the ways that you grow in being prayed up is you learn to not only pray for yourself, although for some people, praying for themselves is a step of spiritual maturity. There's kind of a false understanding where people go, I'm not supposed to pray for myself. Good Lord, people. How are you going to help anybody if you're not letting Jesus help you? That's all I got to say. But growing up in the prayer life is learning not only to pray for yourself, but to pray for others. There's a movement from self to others. Confessed up. That means you're growing in your ability to not only sort of go, well, I shouldn't have said that and I shouldn't have done that, but you're learning to confess the deeper things, currents that are alive in your soul and heart, and you bring them to the Lord. That's what it really means to be deeply confessed up. The real currents of your soul that need to be touched by Jesus, you're learning to bring those. And then obeyed up, that's not only sort of living your week so that you've learned to be nice in your sharing, but you're learning to respond where you get those impulses, those leadings where you, maybe I should supposed to talk to that person, or maybe I'm supposed to go do that, or maybe the Lord wants to give me to give this amount of money to over there. And you're learning to sort of respond to the leading of the Spirit in your lives. Prayed up, confessed up, obeyed up, loved out. Now, if you begin to build a life full of disciplines and patterns and rhythms where you're praying, and you're confessing, and you're obeying, you're going to begin to experience being loved up. Because Jesus loves nothing more to show up when you want to talk and be with him, when you want to talk to him about the deep things of your soul, and when you begin to respond to his leading, that's exactly where he loves to show up. And you'll experience his presence. And it's sort of a mystery of the gospel. And as you're loved up, if you're experiencing the love of Jesus and not just some warm, sentimental, happy, feel-good experience, if you're experiencing Jesus, then you're going to begin to get compelled to love out. My brothers and sisters, I can't say it more plainly. That's simply a sign of the kingdom at work in your life, that you're allowing yourself to get loved up. And we were created to be loved up. God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. He was loving up on them because he wanted to be in that close, intimate conversation and shared life. But when you're loved up with Jesus, you begin to get compelled to let it flow out. It's the story from the beginning. God called Abraham and he said, I'm going to bless you that you might bless the nations of the world. It's been that way from the very beginning. One of the major themes of Jesus' ministry is freely you have received. Freely you've known what it's like to begin to be loved by the Father. And so now freely give. That's the kingdom life. As simple as it is. That's what it means to live not for the future, but in the moment with God. If you really want to be prepared for the second coming of Jesus, live in the moment with God. Christians are not called to pay attention to calendars and watches. Be ready. Be ready is to be in the moment with the Spirit in the world in which you've been placed, and watch Amen. God be with you Amen. And work with you. But I don't think this parable's really about that. And that wasn't a bad little preach, was it? You ready for me to be done? I think the heart of the parable is when Jesus says at the end to those who were not ready, and the door shuts, and they call out, "Lord, Lord," he says, "I do not know you." I can't think of a worse spiritual ouch from God than God say, "I do not know you." That's moving. What does that mean? Well, we had, where's Alfred? We had a passage from Amos. I'm going to mention the Old Testament. Well, Alfred's not in the room, but I want you to tell him I preached on the Old Testament for a moment. It's one of his reflections with me. Amos is a difficult book. God, it seems like the prophet is just saying, like, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. No. It's like, what is this all about? This is overwhelming me. I can't handle this. But I want you to know that in the heart of that book, God says this to the people of Israel. He says, of all the families of the earth, of all the nations, all the peoples of the earth, I knew you. I know you. And I think that's covenant language. Those of you who are with Aaron in her class, if I contradict Sandy Richter, go with Sandy Richter. But covenant language. And I understand it to mean this. God is saying to Israel, listen, I've wanted to love you up from the beginning. I've wanted to call you into my relationship with myself. I mean, isn't that the language of North American evangelical Christianity, if I can use evangelical in a positive way these days, that we have a personal relationship with Jesus? What does that mean? That means that we have found that we are the helpless, sinful people that need to be reconnected with our God. And God says, I'm actually seeking you out. I'm coming after you. I'm pursuing you. I'm inviting you back in. And so the covenant is where God seeks us out. And he says, I love you. And I've come to repair and restore you and your world. And God says, I've known you. I've chosen you. That's what God says of the people of Israel. I've chosen you. That's what Jesus says to his disciples at the Last Supper. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And so this love language of I chose you, I invited you, I called you into this relationship with me that you as an individual might know how to learn to live and walk with me. That's covenant language. But what we like to forget is that personal relationship comes with personal responsibility. And I've already said this. Getting loved up means learning to love out. And so all those hard words in the book of Amos, God is just saying, I have loved you from the beginning. I rescued you out of Egypt. I established you in a land. I've blessed you. I've blessed your livestock. I've blessed your vineyards. All of that. I've been present to you, and I continually call you back and invite you to learn to be with me. And as I love you up, I'm just asking you that you would bless, you would serve, you would love others. And love is very practical. And so in the book of Amos, it's not like, well, I just decided this day that what you were doing I didn't like. It's like, I've been loving you, and all I've been asking is that you would pay attention to the poor in your neighborhood. Anyone who is hungry, you'd feed them. If they were naked, you'd clothe them. If they were strangers, you'd welcome them. If they're in prison, you'd visit them. If they're sick, you'd take care of them. That's all I've asked. And in your neighborhoods across Israel, you're ignoring the poor. How can I keep loving you up when you won't love out? And I would say the entire section of prophetic books in the Old Testament, that's the simplest way I could describe it. It's a God who says, I have loved you up. I have done all these things, given to you, blessed you, established you. All I'm asking is that among yourselves you would love out. And so I'm going to call you on it. I'm calling you. And in this parable of the 10 bridesmaids, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, you can buy commentaries that'll tell you supposedly what all the little different things meant. This is what the oil meant. I think that's okay. What Jesus is saying to the religious leaders of his day is God doesn't know you because you're not living like you belong to the covenant. You're not living like you're a child of the Father in heaven who gives to those who don't give to him, who loves those who don't love him, who's generous to the poor. All I'm asking is that as I've loved you, that you would let it flow out of your life. And I'm going to hold you to account. I'm going to call you out on it. And it could be that many of us in this room, in our times of prayer with God, it kind of sucks. And it may be because you have created a spiritual logjam by not having any place in your life where you log out, love out. You just want to be loved up. And God says, I so want to love you. And I do. I do. But that's not a game we're going to play. My love can't be bottled up. And so it's like I don't know you. Because this is my Father's house, and this is how we live in my Father's house. And the mystery, I'll say one more time. The mystery is that sometimes the greatest experiences of the love of God that transcends mere emotional experience is to find yourself with God loving and serving another person in another way.
Amen.
It's a mystery. And if we think that the primary place of being loved by God is in the prayer closet, we've got it wrong. Wow. He does meet you there. He does. But his way is a bigger way. His love is a greater love. That's why we look at the cross. And when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, we go, we marvel at how he was loving out. We marvel. The Mount of Transfiguration was cool and dazzling and served a purpose. But it's at the cross where we go, look at how God loved us. Well, my time's up. But the time is never up. And so, hear the Lord on the front end of your life. I have loved you up, and I love you now. And I am patient. The way to have the door not shut is to stay open to the work of the love of God that comes in and flows out. Amen. Amen.